Oi, oi, I'm Jimmy Bullard, and this is me old muck of Fenners. We're back together, son. How are ya?
Hi, Bully. Great to be back working with you. Well, what are we doing here, though?
We're starting a football club in podcast form. The only thing we know, it's called FC Bullard. After that, it's all up for grabs.
So, we haven't got any players, we haven't got a kit, we haven't got a club badge, we haven't got a stadium.
Correct. FC Bullard. Welcome to the club.
This is a crowd podcast.
Joe, it would improve your athletic performance. You microdose mushrooms, you'll feel like you're levitating across the field.
Hi, I'm Joe Marler.
And I am Tom Fordyce.
And this is Things People Do.
Some people do amazing things. On this show, we meet tree surgeons, fashion experts, gangsters.
And some people who do other things, like recruitment.
Market traders.
Pest control.
Because everyone is interesting if you ask the right questions.
See, I used to hate people, but this podcast has changed me. And now I can't get enough of people and the weird and wonderful things they do.
What do you think's the most stolen item in a hotel?
Toilet rolls.
Batteries out of the remote.
On the underground, there are so many smutty acronyms and words.
I'm just like a fat geezer that eats chips pie in the morning and sells things on the market still.
Today, we are live at the Clapham Grand with another episode of Things People Did, where we ask comedians and celebrities all about the jobs they used to do before they were famous. And our guest is comedian and award-winning writer, Fern Brady.
I like being around weirdos. I like any jobs where you meet quite eccentric people.
And you're telling me they're not illegal?
No, they're one of the most illegal ones. And he was working his way through a series called The Kinky Wrinkly.
Welcome to Things People Did. Please put your hands together for our first guest, Fern Brady, everybody. Oh, good shake, good shake.
I need to explain that greeting. Earlier on, I shook Fern's hand with what I thought was a standard handshake.
Crushed my hand.
Crushed your hand, Fern. I formally apologise.
I didn't know you were on this podcast. I was saying to the guys backstage, I thought you were Joe's assistant.
Fundamentally, Fern, I am. You've understood the dynamic between us straight away.
Oh, I don't think that's fair, is it? Is it fair?
Yeah. That's fine, I understand.
It's definitely fair. Fern, how are you?
I'm all right, thank
you. What have you asked for in that cup?
Sparkling water.
You don't sound like you're from round here.
Yeah, you mentioned my accent within seconds of meeting me. And that was why I didn't say anything, because I was like, oh, this is going to just keep happening. I've been in England for 14 years, and it's like every day. Oh, you're Scottish. Just every day.
Was that me? Did I say that?
No, you said, that's a lovely accent.
Yeah. I was trying to be, you know, like...
Oh. I'm self-conscious of it.
Are you?
Yeah.
Have you tried putting on a different accent then?
Yeah, but it makes me feel sick.
What are the chances, Joe, of you at some point falling into a faux Scottish accent when you're talking to Fern?
I think it does happen to me quite a lot. I used to think of it as a way of making the other person feel at ease, like on holiday and stuff like that when waiters...
Holiday. So you would adopt the accent of whichever place you were holidaying?
Pretty much, yeah. Okay. And Days would be like, why the fuck are you putting on that weird accent? I was like, to make you like fit in a bit more at ease. So like, it ain't pal, how are you doing? You're fucking...
See Do you know one of the most devastating things that happened to me last year was I did Bake Off. That wasn't devastating. That was good. I like baking cakes, right? But I did Bake Off and Mel B was on, the Spice Girl Mel B was on my episode and it was like one of the best things that's ever happened to me. And then she did my Scottish accent back at me and it was like a knife through the heart. I was like, oh God, you're just like everyone else. Like, every time I spoke to her, she would do a Scottish accent back at me, and it was
shit
so crushing.
Accent or any good?
Not great, but my Mel B impression's quite bad as well, because I just did that back to her. So, yeah.
So, Fern, this is Things People Did. We're going to delve into all the jobs you used to do.
Yeah.
We've got down here, in your own words, you've done lots of weird jobs.
Yeah.
The first job I've got down here is pretty weird. You worked, I believe, as an assistant on a stall selling flower potions at a psychic fair, which sounds like I am repeating an Elton John lyric.
Yeah, I did that when I was 14 or 15. One of my mum's friends said, listen, my husband has this weird side job at the weekends where he sells tinctures to people at psychic fairs. And we had this stall where we would give a pack of cards to customers. They were like tarot cards, but they had pictures of flowers on them. And we'd say, pick whichever card you feel drawn to. And then they would pick three and we'd say, this tells us you've got issues with your father. And then we'd make them a little potion and sell it to them. It was bullshit. It was total bullshit. But the guy I was working with totally believed in it. And any money that he earned doing this job, he would just spend it all again on crystals. And his wife was furious at him. And on one side of my stall, because you had all these other just mad people, like psychics and witches and stuff, working at these fairs. So on one stall, we had a woman who would play a Tibetan singing bowl, and she said that she could see your aura. And then on the other side of me, I had a woman called Anne, whose main thing that she did was she said she could see your inner child or your inner demon. But she told me I was okay, that I didn't have a demon. But people would pay for this. This was like a huge thing in the early 2000s. People would go to these psychic fairs.
I mean, Joe, you'd be fine in that situation because you've got no inner demons whatsoever, have you? So,
but there's so much to like dissect out of that. A psychic fair, like a boot fair. Like, how does this fair look?
It's like all the psychics gather in a town hall. Everyone who's a psychic, anyone who sells crystals, anyone who does any kind of woo. They all gather on a Saturday and then people will go around all the stalls. It's like a farmer's market or a food market, but for nonsense.
So they're just all... Have we got any psychics in the room?
Oh. We had a psychic on the show once, didn't we? Do you remember?
Oh, no. No, we're not talking about that. No, you don't want me to talk about that.
Why?
No, because we had a psychic on the show. And it was during COVID, and so we did it over Zoom.
You were in your van at the SO station, because it's got a better Wi-Fi than your home.
That was it, yeah, that's fine. Still does, actually, I haven't sorted that. So this lovely woman came on, and... fucking hell, why am I saying this? She was a psychic, but before her coming on, we were talking about how's it going to go, what you do, and Tom was like, I ain't fucking doing it. And we're like, what do you mean? He said, because it's complete and utter bollocks. You actually said, what's the word... Is that martyr? No.
Charlatan?
Charlatan, that's it. It's just a charlatan. I'm not doing it, mate. I'm not doing it. I was like, well, I'm actually really interested to talk to this woman and I'm kind of into it, so can you just play along with me? Well, we'd do good cop, bad cop, we'd do that sort of thing. Luckily for him, she was actually a blind psychic. So doing it over Zoom, he could... No, you're a bad person. I just saw that.
That doesn't make any noise.
So he would be like, she'd be, I'm into it, getting well into, oh, you've got this energy outside your seat and I can tell who your father is from the imprint of your arse cheeks on your chair or something like that. Right. And I'm believing it. And Tom's like, fuck it. And you're going to burn in hell for that, doing that to her. And I needed to get that off my chest. I'm sorry, but that's what I...
The worst thing for him was that she wasn't even blind when you got her facts from.
She wasn't.
No, she was, but she wasn't.
Right.
That was our knowledge of psychics. I was actually making potions the other day with my 8-year-old daughter. How would you, and which we added this whole kit and I got into it, I loved it, but how would you go about making your potions then? Would you like pestle and mortar, like screw?
No, it was mostly brandy. It was like homeopathy and it was, it was nonsense. I felt guilty selling it to people, but I was only 14. I just was like, I'm not responsible for this at all. But I liked it. I liked being around weirdos. I like any jobs where you meet quite eccentric people. I just feel more comfortable.
Who was the strangest person you met at any psychic fair, Fern?
Definitely the woman that could see your inner demon and your inner child. She said that I had an angel and she wrote down his name. But I don't know why. I'm not going to WhatsApp him or something. She just wrote his name down on a bit of paper and gave it to me.
Was it an obvious angel name or was it a prosaic name like Steve?
No, it wasn't Steve. It was Gabriel. Isn't he like the biggest one? I think she just wrote down the first angel that she could think of. Who's a famous angel? It honestly was something like that. Yeah. When you said about Steve, sorry, I went to Thailand on holiday with my little brother last summer, and he was like, you got to take magic mushrooms while we're here. We have to take magic mushrooms. They're not drugs. They're really therapy. They're basically mental health therapy, right? And he said, every time I take mushrooms, I have a spirit guide, and his name's Steve, and Steve comes back to me. he was insistent. He was like, Steve comes back to me every time and reassures me. So there you go. That was my spirit guide. Was a stray cat that I found on the beach, though. So that was unfortunate.
But so you did partake in the therapy?
Yeah, it was amazing. It had such a positive effect on me for 3 months after. Like, you were, you surprised? You said about the sparkling water. I was like, am I meant to? Is it meant because I'm not drinking alcohol?
No,
I hate alcohol. I love drugs. Right. And this is such an uncomfortable position to have in the UK, because people pickle themselves with drink. It's probably the most dangerous drug ever. Mushrooms are the safest drug and people are weird about it. See, for 3 months after I took mushrooms, I live in Lewisham, right? It's a place that fills me with horror every day. And I came home and for the first time in 10 years, because I live here, I was able to look past the screaming mad people in the streets and just see birds singing in the trees. That was the effect mushrooms had on me.
So you're recommending them?
Yeah, aren't you into mental health stuff and all that? I googled you beforehand.
Yeah, I love it. So you're advising me to maybe move away from the Oromorph and the morphine to actually then go... to actually then go into the mushrooms?
100%, yeah.
Oh, are they? And you're telling me they're not illegal?
No, they're the most. They're one of the most illegal ones. but
they just grow. Like, how the fuck are they illegal? They just grow.
Well, they didn't used to be illegal. I remember a few years ago, head shops started saying, "Everyone, buy your mushrooms now because they're about to become illegal." But then in other countries, like in Australia, I think they're about to start introducing them for therapeutic use for any treatment-resistant depression. So, yeah.
Joe, which of your... this ludicrous question. Which of your England teammates would be most amusing on magic mushrooms?
Oh, it would have to be my former teammate on Johnny May.
Does he need mushrooms?
Well, I was just about to finish. Is he already on them? I think the period in our lives when he was convinced actually he could have done with that woman that you met at the psychic fair, because he went through a good 6 months in his life where he convinced us and himself that he was possessed by a chicken. And I shit you not, it like out of nowhere he'd just turn it and you'd be like, what the fuck is going on? Or there's been times I've walked into the shower and he's locked himself in a little, like, cage thing, naked, and the shower just on him, and he's like... Muck, muck, muck. I'm like, what the fuck's going on here? So if he's not on mushrooms, I want him to go to the next level and get on mushrooms. That's what I want to happen. And now I think I want to go on mushrooms immediately. Is there any mushroom lovers in the room? In fact, first of all, any police in the room? Shit. And then any other mushroom users that the police person hasn't...
Woo, see, lots of woos.
Okay.
Well, 2 woos.
Oh, okay. So we're giving it a thumbs up, thumbs down, try it. No, I didn't mean, have you got any now?
Don't buy mushrooms from an audience member, Joe.
She looks trustworthy. I'll do that. That's fine. It's, okay. So that was probably one of the weirdest jobs you've ever had. Is that right?
Yeah, another one I did when I started comedy was... I met another comedian... a gig when I first moved down. I moved to Manchester and I said, I really need a job. And he said, I've got a bit of a weird one for you, but it'll give you a job for now. And it was working as his assistant in a sex shop in Stockport. It was a shop that sold like porn DVDs and other things like that. And it was amazing. I had such a laugh there. There was a tattoo shop over the road from us and they said they could regularly hear me laughing at the customers.
At them.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Because you just have all these... You know how when old men walk around museums, they always have their hands clasped behind their backs? Men would come into the shop like that with their hands behind their backs, trying to look casual, and then they would go and get the worst porno you could think of from the shop. And for some reason, the guy that I was working with, he said, every time someone buys a DVD, this is how long ago it was, DVDs were still a thing, he said, you've got to write down the title of it in the stock book. And he would read the title out loud while taking their money, which I think is unnecessary. So we had this old man would come in, and he was so, so sweet. And he said, listen, guys, I don't want any of that nasty stuff you sell. Some of the things in this shop make me go pale. I just want a nice lady, my own age. And he was working his way through a series called The Kinky Wrinkly.
So that a whole series of kinkly-wrinklies. Yeah.
He just wanted old lady porn, and not in a disgusting way. He just wanted to see other women his age, which is lovely.
Did he give you that like breakdown of it? I don't want it to. So you said, I don't
he
want to nasty
shit. He said that to my manager, yeah.
Just want
and
a
on
nice
day one in the sex shop, I got shown how to work the tills, was getting shown the ropes. And then my boss went, right, first things first, we're off to buy hand sanitizer. Because one of the things we used to do is we would let people return their DVDs.
What?
Then we would repackage them. Repackage their sticky DVDs and sell them at a reduced price.
You would take the DVD back and give them their money?
Yeah, I mean, even at the time, I was so surprised anyone was buying DVDs because, like, the internet existed, so it was so strange to me. But the day where I laughed someone out of the shop, I was doing a shift on my own, and a lot of the time, I mean, they're not rammed porno DVD shops. A lot of the time, you would just sit there on your own, you would read the newspaper, listen to music, and then a guy came in, and I had to write down what he was buying, and I said, right, Satan's whore, and then I just went, and he just ran out the shop and left the DVDs on the counter. And the tattoo shop guys came in and they were like, you can't be laughing the customers out of the shop. And I never wanted to leave. I only left because I got a job.
So good. Never wanted to leave. As in the day or as a career?
I didn't want to leave the job. I just got another job with more hours.
But did you want to stay because it was good pay or because you really enjoyed...
No, it wasn't good pay. It wasn't good pay. I think it was minimum wage. It was just a skive. You were just sitting on your own a lot of the time.
And you were just waiting for those moments of being able to laugh at the customer. Yeah. There's part of me that would really like to have come to that sex shop.
You'd also get a lot of like builders coming in that would act really straight and then buy... pretty gay porn. That happens a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And I found that interesting. So, yeah.
What fun. So in most shops, there is a thing where they try and sell you something cheap and easy at the point of sale. So you might go to a petrol station and they'll have some Tic Tacs, or you might go to a bookshop.
Oh, I see where you've got your butt plugs, small butt plugs by the till, yeah.
And they'd go down well, would they, so to speak?
I don't remember. I don't remember there being very many... you couldn't really persuade people to buy what they didn't want in that shop. And then I left it to go work at a TV channel doing the clearance for music, which was so boring.
Have you got much experience of these sex shops, Tom?
I was going to ask you the last time you went to a sex shop, Joe, actually. That was going to be my question to you.
Oh, but I asked you first.
Well,
so.
I've got a slightly surprising answer for you. It was about 7 hours ago.
Because it's Valentine's Day.
So I don't know where to go with that.
I went to a sex shop for research for this. That's certainly what I told the arresting officer. I did. I was walking along Oxford Street earlier, and there's an Ann Summers, so I popped into Ann Summers just to do a little bit of research. What was the most surprising? The most surprising thing is that the toys come in all shapes and sizes, obviously. There was one that was like the petals on a flower. I didn't really understand what...
Oh.
Any ideas? Oh, it's like a tulip.
Was it always open, or does it start as a closed flower and then like, how did it go?
I only saw the packet. It did look less like a tulip, maybe more like a lovely English rose.
Oh, okay. I like what you're doing, these things. I once bought a mate a butt plug. We used to do a secret Santa, like our group of friends. I do have friends. And her name was Lauren, and I bought her a butt plug just because that's what I'd do. I'd just do outrageous things just to be a knob sometimes, if you've not noticed that. And she opened it up around the dinner that we all had, and she's like, oh, yeah, good one, yeah, thanks, yeah, that's funny. But we had this dinner around her nan's house. She was living with her nan at the time. And her nan, oh, she's a tiny little old lady, used to just sit on her chair. Oh, someone's popped.
Someone's just came out.
Perfect, thank you. It's much better than this story, so there's... But so she'd be sitting there just doing it, and we'd, whenever we'd go around there. So we had this Christmas dinner, and she's tidied up, and obviously Lauren's left this butt plug there rather than taking it with her. And she said a couple of weeks later, she went back round to see her, and her nan's sitting in the chair, and she's got a table there, and she's doing her sewing and her needles and all that sort of stuff. And then she's looked over, and she's like, Nan, what's that? And she's like, oh, dear, no, thank you for this. And it's this butt plug that's just full of needles. It's got loads of needles. And when she's telling me this, I thought, what, like a voodoo butt plug? She's got something. She said, no, it's where she keeps all her pins and needles. She thought it was a pin cushion where she's got this butt plug just stuck on her thing like that. So after that, you aspired to, we've got Ladbrokes, sort of bookies. Did you go into
I worked in the bookies at uni, yeah. That was, I saw so many men cry there.
Did you?
Yeah.
What, is it not like they're pouring their heart out to you, troubles or?
Oh, they did do that as well. I worked in a bookies in Leith. In Edinburgh. Leith's quite gentrified now, but at the time it was still associated with the film Trainspotting and everything. And I felt so safe living in Leith because all the maddest people came into the bookies. So I knew they wouldn't kill me because no one would be there to put their bet on a Saturday. But something that used to happen all the time is... there's these things called it boxes. I think that's what they're called. They're these gambling machines, and people regularly have debates saying we've got to ban these because they're one of the worst forms of gambling. And guys would just punch them and just attack them when they lost their money.
What were they called? It box.
An it box. It's got another name for
it. It's a fixed odds betting machine, isn't it?
Yeah. And they're really bad for you, apparently.
What's on it?
You just end up chasing the bet, I think, so you can end up losing way more.
What are you betting
on?
I don't remember. I just remember, and bearing in mind when I worked there, I'm 37 now, and I must have been 19 when I worked there, so this is a long time ago, and I still don't think they've banned them. At the time, they were like, these are really, really bad for problem gamblers. And in addition to the guys in the shop punching it, another thing that would happen is the managers... We had a few managers get sacked because after hours, they would gamble all the shop's money away on these machines. Then they'd try and make up for it, and they just couldn't. And then they just had to, like, admit to the manager, like, the people above that, what they'd done. That happens all the time in betting shops. Like, managers have to leave because they've gambled themselves.
When you work in a betting shop, like, are you setting any of the odds? Is there someone who's like a racing expert in the shop, or are these all coming in from some outside source?
I just did. All I remember is I would do something on the computer and then put their slip through and give it to them and pay out the money. We had to barricade ourselves in one time. I remember thinking, God, I maybe should get just a job as a waitress or something. We barricaded ourselves in because a guy was foaming at the mouth. I don't know what he was on.
Mushrooms.
No, I don't know what he was on. He was mad. We also tried to section one of our customers as well because she really wasn't very well one time. So you met all sorts of people in there, and I found it interesting in that regard.
Is it true you're not allowed to be under 18 in there?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, fuck.
People would leave their kids outside as well. That was, it was terrible.
What was the biggest bet that you ever saw?
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting as much of a joke, of a laugh.
Yeah,
from the audience.
Yeah, I was surprised you guys laughed at that.
Because she said kids, that people used to leave their kids outside all the time, and I was like, yeah, they're horrible pieces of shit that do that.
Oh, no.
Come on then, Joe, what's the story?
It was the Grand National. Oh. And I was... I had to go put on a bet. Not because I'm a gambler, I think. I just fancied, because it's a Grand National, I have a little flutter. But I was with Jasper, and he must have been 5 at the time, I think. And I walked... Oh, no. And then I walked in there with him, you know, expecting them to be... Like, you're going to have to get out. And I'm like, why? I just want to place a bet. There are no under-18s in. I said, he's not making a fucking bet, is he? He's just with me. Like, she said, we can't have an under-18 in the bookies. I went, what am I going to do with him then? She said, well, you can't place your bet. I went, so he's not allowed to be in here for me to place the bet? And she said, no. I went, okay. Fuck. It's glass. There was a glass. It's glass window, glass door. I could see him. And it was like a cubby. You know when the door goes in the shop?
So the
windows come out.
Yeah.
So I could see him the entire time. So I'm writing it down. Yeah, red rum or whatever the fuck horse it was. Yeah, I'll have that. And I'm looking at him the entire time. He's there. I know he's... Fuck, there's a police... You put your hand up as a police officer, didn't you? And then I've put the slip over and... And we've left, and I want to be swallowed up right now.
Grand National Day is really busy. Like,
so that's allowed.
I'm talking about people that did it all the time.
Yeah.
Just bad dads.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I'm a piece of shit, aren't I?
No, that's fine.
It was just the one time I didn't do it. It's fine. Okay.
When you worked in the shop, what was the biggest single bet that you saw being placed? Are we talking? Leith, are we talking 5s, 10s, or were there any big high rollers?
Much more than that. And those guys were the real wankers as well.
Were they?
Yeah, really arrogant. I like the skint gamblers that just came in and put their regular bet on a Saturday. Yeah, I saw so many men crying because they'd gambled away all their money. I suppose they do it online now as well, eh?
So, Fern, you've had the sex shop, you've had the bookies, you've had the psychic fair. It seems almost prosaic that you also worked in Boots the Chemist.
Oh, that was the worst job ever. Boots, oh my God.
What the fuck's wrong with Boots?
Oh my God. It's not Boots the... To be clear, it's not Boots the brand. They're great. All the women that were working there were horrible bitches. So the town that I'm from, I know my accent sounds strong to you, but in my town...
What is that town?
Bathgate. Do you know Lewis Capaldi, the singer?
Yeah.
I'm from the same place as him, right?
Oh, brilliant.
So I was like the geeky kid in my town and just like a total weirdo. And I worked in Boots and it was these like rough as arseholes women. And they just saw me for what I was on day one and just bullied me and bullied me and bullied me. And then to comfort myself, I started shoplifting stuff. But there's not very much you could shoplift from... there when you're 16, so I ran out of things to steal eventually, and by the time I got caught, I think I was stealing toothpaste, which I didn't even need. It was awful. Like, for Christmas, we worked there at Christmas, and they're on up to Christmas Day, and they were like, right, ladies, for Christmas, we're all going to dress up. Let's all come in and dress Christmassy. But I kind of got the memo wrong, so everyone came in wearing cute little... like reindeer antlers or tiny little fairy wings. I came in wearing 6 foot like angel wings that spanned my back. I looked like a maniac, and when I walked in with the big wings on, and I'm really tall, especially in Scotland, and I just was like, this is going to be the worst Christmas Eve ever. And they just did not stop taking the piss out of me for it.
What did you go in as? Like, what did you start in as? I don't mean the angel bit. I mean, what did you start in? Like, what was your job?
Oh, I was just a shop assistant.
So was it like a... What else? I'm interested
just
in
like selling, like, pile cream to people, or women would come in. I find it hard to... When people speak in euphemisms and don't speak bluntly, I find it quite hard to understand. So I remember I would get women coming in being like, I have an itch. And then they would just look at the ground. And I was like, where are itchy face, itchy back? And they would be like, an itch. And it was just, I was like the worst person to help pick out fanny cream for people. It was just so grim.
It sounds very similar to the sex shop situation where they'd come in with the porno and you'd shout it as loud as you can and laugh in their face. And did you ever
I got in trouble in that shop every week and I didn't know why. Obviously, I knew stealing from the shop was bad, right? But all the other stuff I got in trouble for, I was like, I don't understand why I'm getting in trouble for this.
Sharon, how much is the Vagisil?
Yeah. Or they would get me to wear a badge that said, ask me about the new number 7 mascara. So people would be like, what's the new number 7 mascara like? And I'd say, it's awful. It's so bad. Buy this one from Rimmel instead. And then straight away I'd get hold off by the manager.
Why do we get funny about shit like that if we go into the pharmacy and like if I've got a pile, which I don't have.
The thing is, you've mentioned that to me several times.
Well, I don't have a pile, so don't bring it up again.
Is anyone else surprised that Joe Marler, who spends most of his life lifting heavy weights and pushing things, doesn't have piles?
Well, do you eat a high-fibre diet? Because then you'll be fine.
I don't know what fibre is.
I thought if you're a rugby player, you would have quite a regimented diet and you'd eat loads of... Did you just say salt and beef? Oh, it's all meat. I thought you were on the fucking Jordan Peterson diet or something.
No.
It's all meat.
Why are we like that? Like, why are we so embarrassed to just, like... Are you like that if you go to the pharmacy? If you've got an itch something?
If I'm going in for piles cream?
Yeah, let's go with pile cream. Yeah. If you need
honest. I'll go in there and I say, listen, I've got a massive problem with my chow fonts.
With your what?
Chow fonts and Giles. I'll be totally honest.
Hang on, you're looking at what the fuck did you just say? Chow fronts?
Chow font St. Giles.
What's Chow font St. Giles?
Another way of saying it would be to go in there and go, oh, I've got an issue with my nauticals.
So he's one of them. He's one of the guys that would come in and not tell you straight.
Is that what you call Cockney rhyming slang?
I believe so, fun. Right. Nautical is another one, don't they? People refer to their nauticals, which I believe is nautical miles.
Then you've just confused Fern, the fucking shop assistant, who's like, I don't know what the fuck you're going on about. What's your problem? I'm here to try and help you. And you're like, oh, I'm not sure what to say now. I'll just leave. Why? It's so weird. I remember going round Boots with Coley, actually. You'll like this one. He was with me. He said, oh, I need to come in as well. And I was like, okay, cool. So we're wandering around. I'm putting some bits and bobs in my basket and bits and bobs in my basket there. And then I go to pay and I look round and he's not really anywhere to be seen. And then last minute, I got down to my last couple of items. I just hear this like cling in my basket. And then he shuffled off and I looked down and it was a pack of condoms. And then I had to go and buy his condoms for him. And then I went back outside and said, what the fuck was that about, mate? And he went, oh, I just thought it was easier but if you bought them because I didn't want to queue up again. Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, mate, here's your condoms. As we went outside, he said, you don't need it, my bad. Here's your condoms. Here you go. And he's just fucking bright red. But I don't know whether I'm being mean to people that are like that, that are too embarrassed to actually go and say it. Are we being mean?
I don't think buying condoms is embarrassing because that's saying, I'm having sex, whereas buying laxatives is, I need a shit. So that's much worse. I wouldn't be embarrassed buying condoms at all. That's like a brag.
So I should buy more condoms?
Well, for some reason, I think laxatives are the most embarrassing thing to buy, but Imodium, not so much. Or Deodorite, because that's a hangover cure, wouldn't be embarrassed to buy that. But laxatives, I think they're looking at my face and trying to see if it looks like I've got poos stuck inside me.
So what you're saying
is... Yeah, that face.
I was trying to work. Why are people looking at your face to work out if you've got shit stuck inside you?
Because you look sad. You look sad when you need a poo.
A little bit flushed.
Do you not know about like the gut-brain connection?
No.
If you poo all the time, you feel so happy. Because of the vagus
nerve. Don't tell me you're not familiar with that feeling.
Well, yeah, but it's called poophoria. That's a real thing.
Yes.
I poo at least 5 to 6 times a day. But I'd say...
I think 3 is the idea. What are you on the Bristol stool chart?
Well, it can vary, to be fair. Like, the first 2 in the morning tend to be quite loose. Uh-huh. And, like, they're out with it. And then it might harden up during the 2 in the middle of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the evening, it's a nice hard one. So I go through the whole scale, I guess.
And it's always five or six a day?
It's always five. Usually two before 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so that's properly out the system. But you said a poo-phoria, or that there's a correlation between pooing and happiness.
Yeah, man, the vagus nerve that runs in your brain, runs down your spine and into all the way into your gut. It's all connected. You not heard of polyvagal theory? No.
Fucking
hell. Didn't expect the evening to go this way, Joe.
This is fucking brilliant. I love it. I absolutely love it.
So I thought more people were talking about this.
Yeah. Is it just the number of poos, or is it the type of poo?
Yeah, you want to be a 3 or a 4.
Look, that's the sweet spot.
His sound a bit all over the place.
I don't know whether I force a couple of out. I've got 4 kids, so I force a couple just I need another shit, sorry. And then I'll go spend like 15 minutes just having a breather.
Are your children always interrupting it? Because that would be stressful.
They do, actually. Sometimes they do.
Yeah.
Like, why am I saying shit like this? There's been times when my 2-year-old Pixie, she's like crying or whatever, and she's like, oh, I want daddy, but I'm sitting there having a shite, but she really wants me, but I'm mid-poo, so then she'll just be sat on my knee whilst I'm having a poo. Now I know that 3 things I've said this evening aren't going to necessarily get me cancelled, but there's going to be a lot of people not coming back again now that you've made me come out.
The times when your child should be close to you, you put them in the doorway of a betting shop, and the times when they should be far, far away is when they're close to you. It's all topsy-turvy.
Yeah, I think I really need to get on those mushrooms to sort me out. There should be fucking hell.
Well, Fern, you are now an award-winning author, and we'll talk about your book in a second. The reason I mention that now, Joe, we've had a message from someone in the audience tonight who got a little bit creative over the weekend. Fern, I'd love to get your opinion on his work. Oh. Joe, I'm going to read out something. This is from Tom Church. Hello, Tom.
Hang on, I need to get eyes on Tom. Where is this Tom? Tom, where are you?
Hello, Tom.
Hello, Tom, you okay? Do you mind just standing up quickly for me?
Don't make him stand up before I read out this thing.
No, I need to stand up. Yeah, okay, Tom. Nice looking fella. Quite like him, yeah.
So Tom's message to us before the show was, hi, Joe and Tom, here tonight with my beautiful fiancé, Loz. Just back from Twickenham after quite a few pints of Guinness. So apologies for any bad rhyming. Please read this poem I have crafted. Okay, Fern, so this is the poem we'd like your critical response to. I'm going to read this, ladies and gentlemen, exactly as it is in front of me. Loz, the most beautiful girl I have ever seen. Hey, Tom, I don't know how you've written soon when you mean seen, because on a QWERTY keyboard, the E and the O are nowhere near each other. Anyway, Loz, the most beautiful girl I have ever seen. 8 years now since we met in a bar in 2016. Here's the best bit. You were kind and funny, which is why I love you so much. A great pair of boobs too, that are great to touch.
Oh, that's not it.
And then Tom concludes with, I'm so lucky to always have you there by my side, and I can't wait to marry you next year and have you as my bride.
Tom!
That's not what I thought you were going to come out with.
Tom, can I get some lights on Tom again, please? Tom, is that Loz next to you? Oh, my goodness. There's so much love and horniness in the room.
Well, it's funny you should mention horniness, Joe, because there was a little ad from Tom's note which says, and obviously this is after Saturday's game, Loz also says, Joe's bum looked great today.
Was it?
Oh, you got shy.
I don't know what to do with that. That's fine. Fern, what do you think about that artistic bit of literature?
I think pursue it and write more. And you have your muse now, so you should keep going.
I'm just staring at this line. A great pair of boobs too that are great to touch.
He's honest and to the point. Like, what if he actually put, oh, you've got shit boobs and I don't like touching them? Mm.
I see the point you're making, Joe.
I would say if you're going to have rhyming couplets, maybe stick to that all the way through.
What, the soon and the 16 bit didn't work?
Fern, tell us about your book, because when you go into a major bookseller's these days, bang, it's there in front of you, and that's always a good sign for a book.
Oh, yeah. I only found that out before the show. It was because it won a thing the other week called the Nero Prize that's a good one, apparently.
Oh, you seem bothered about it, but
oh no, so I didn't even realise it was a good one, and then my mate was like, that's one that proper writers get, and I was like, yes. I'm autistic, if that wasn't clear from any of the fucking descriptions of me working in books and not being able to pick up on social cues. I've got ASD1, which they used to call Asperger's. Probably why I immediately had to go at you for crushing my hand as well when I met you. But you shouldn't crush people's hands.
I'm sorry once again for crushing your hand.
So I find it a bit uncomfortable talking about autism to people that aren't autistic, because sometimes, you know, people say things like everyone's autistic these days, or people are getting autism because of the vaccines, or you're not like my autistic son. Like, people come out with all sorts of mad stuff.
People so say I just, from the vaccines.
Yes, taxi drivers say that.
Imagine that. Oh, you must have picked that up from the vaccine. What, you're fucking thick.
Yeah,
you're
like people. Thick. Or you don't look autistic. That's a good one. What does autism look like? So I just wrote a book about it because I found it too difficult to talk about. And then it's been really cool because loads of people liked it and connected with it.
And Fern, if people want to look out for your book, it is called...
Oh, right. Now, I called it this as a joke and now people have took it literally. It's called Strong Female Character. I wanted to call it, here is a book about autism and some other thoughts I've had. And they were like, that's not going to sell in Waterstones. But don't be put off if you're a man. A lot of autistic men have liked it. So, yeah.
So that's the book, and you're on tour.
Oh, God, yeah, I'm going on tour for like the rest of the year from next month. The UK bit of the tour doesn't start till September. I'm about to go to Australia and do it there. Oh, thank you. Cheers.
Joe, I think it's time that we got Fern's CV.
Whoa, you did this. Oh, portfolio knowledge. Oh, thank you.
So let's have a look at this personal statement. I like being around weirdos. Happy with that?
No, Melby is never going to be dead to me. Melby could punch me in the face and I would still love her.
You happy with the Pufforia knowledge? Because you backed that one up massively.
I'm well happy with that. Read up on it. It's true.
Okay, we've obviously got a mention there for the kinky wrinkly, which is an important thing to have on your CV.
Oh, that's so sweet. Martin, what a lovely bloke. Oh, just
horrible
so
bitches.
Sweet, just sitting
rough
there,
women.
Pulling his fucking todger. Yeah. To kinky wrinklies, like, but we've made out like he was a nice, sweet old... Yeah, no, it's fine.
We've obviously got the mention there of having to be barricaded into the betting shop in Leeds.
Oh, recommends drugs to athletes. Come on.
Well,
don't be basic. Come on.
First of all, it's not obviously to me. That's rugby player, not an athlete. That's fine. My favourite...
Joe, it would improve your athletic performance. You microdose mushrooms, you'll feel like you're levitating across the field.
So what you're saying is, we're playing Scotland next week.
Are you?
A week on Saturday. We're going up to Murrayfield to play Scotland. So what you're saying as a hardcore Scottish native... Is
well,
that
I'm really more Irish than Scottish, but anyway. But I won't say the next bit. I was going to say I were surfing. But it would only have been offensive to Scottish people.
Go on.
No, on reflection, Joe, I don't think you should take mushrooms, because especially not to play against Scotland, because I think ultimately you would sense that we're all one and that there's not anything that divides us, and then you wouldn't play very well. Are you pooing the idea that we're all one? Jesus Christ, there's no hope.
I would accept that we're all one if I didn't have 60,000 Scottish people telling me to fuck off back to where I came from as their national anthem, which is also, I have to admit, it's my favourite national anthem to listen to. Sorry to all the English people, including myself, that was thinking. Fern, you've been absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on. Can we have a big round of applause for Fern Brady, people? Thank you.
Thanks very much. Cheers.
I was about to start with a Scottish accent.
Mistake.
But that is a mistake.
We've been over it with Fern just now.
Yeah, and I've learned my lesson now. It's not comforting to the person you speak. Well, majority of you speak to, it's not comforting. It's actually, they take it as offence. And I will not be doing that anymore. I will only stick to my Mandela impression. And that will be specific to just people asking me to do Mandela. Okay? Mm. But Fern was great. And what about some of the random, ridiculous jobs that she had?
I think she had done more random and weird and sometimes dark jobs than any other guest we've yet had on Things People Did.
The potion mixer seller at the Pixie Fair.
Travelling show.
It was so good. No, she was great. I really enjoyed that one.
Well, we are at the Clapham Grand for a show exactly like this, Joe. Every single month.
Every month.
Every month.
Every month, we're going to get comedians and celebrities, just like Fern Brady, and talk about all the things they used to do.
All the things what they did.
Yeah, the things people did, we shall call it, and that is what it is called.
If you would like to come along, click on the link in the episode description, and we may see you in this very building very soon.
Goodbye.
Crowd Network. A place where you belong.
Sports Social Podcast Network.